further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, Leslie M. Scott Jones and Clinton Johnston. Now, here's Clinton and Leslie.
Here we are.
Here we are.
It's Sunday.
It's Sunday.
It's Sunday again.
Then we said we're gonna do the old opening.
Well, you didn't though.
Isn't that supposed to be our official opening now?
Have we ever clung to what was official?
I think we.
Is that us?
We cling to officials.
Is that us? Can we?
We cling to officials quite a lot.
Well, I know I do. I mean, you know, depends on what game they're officiating. But
goodness
yeah.
knows, I have those nasty Jeff Sessions fantasies.
Oh,
yeah, there you go.
Oh, see why you put that in my head? That is so not right.
You can't get that out, can you?
Oh, God, I need bleach for my brain right now.
That's an image. Hey, you're awake now. Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or an art taker, welcome all, because of course all are welcome to Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art.
See? I like that one.
Just came back.
It's like riding a bike, Clint. Riding a bike.
I am here with the person who needs me like a fish needs a bicycle, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Thank you, Clinton. I do need you a little more than a fish needs a bicycle.
Depends on the bicycle, don't you think?
Well,
but it doesn't depend on the fish, apparently.
It doesn't depend on the fish at all.
I don't know.
No, not at all.
It depends on Jeff Sessions.
You're just going to keep going to that, aren't you? That's gross.
No, I think at some time I'm going to switch to Verizon Employee of the Year, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, every once in a while.
Oh, well, yes. Well, he's at least, you know, okay to look at. You know, you don't want him to talk. That's one of those where
I think that he should
over the mouth.
I think that he should win. You're right. You're so right, because I think that he should win for Evil Demon with the nicest smile.
Right?
Like, he's like, I'm giving you all of this BS about how I'm taking away net neutrality, and it's just this big,
this
pearly,
huge,
this like,
I know.
He's just
know.
Like, it's just
he
like,
is the devil.
He is. He's like evil Smurf.
Yeah. Yes, he's evil. Exactly.
He is evil Verizon Smurf. Your lack of net neutrality will be Smurfalicious.
Oh my goodness. Now we just need some activists to paint him blue.
Exactly.
Can we do that?
Over 80% of the people don't want this. I don't give a smurf.
Yeah, right?
Big smile.
Like, seriously, can we find an activist to slip some pills into his coffee in the morning that will turn him blue by the afternoon? Can we? That'd be awesome. Oh, we are sick and twisted individuals.
Actually, not as sick and twisted as you think, because I just went and tried to make Jeff Sessions like a Southern Gargamel.
Well, he's got the ears for it.
We'll just keep the black smurfs from voting.
He's got the ears for it already.
He does have ears for it.
Just give him the hat and the cat and we're good.
2017. What a great year it's been.
It's been a year. Let's put it that way.
It's been a year, and we are ending. You know what we're doing, Leslie?
What are we doing?
We are ending this year on a special show, a very special episode of Homegrown.
A special episode or a special episode?
That's special. We need David here if we're going to get that special.
Clarification has become very important to me in 2017, so I'm just trying, you know, I'm trying to keep that going.
I get that. We should all take that as an example.
Andy's dying over here.
2017. Clarification. Now, when you say fake news, do you mean fake news the way it was meant before people made it mean the other thing?
Right, exactly.
That is to say,
are we talking dictionary definition or like...
When you say literal, do you literally mean literally?
I knew he was gonna go there.
Do you mean figuratively?
You know what? Clinton is probably the only person that was absolutely mortified when they adjusted the definition of literal in the dictionary to mean anything other than literal.
I was watching that reference happen very slowly. I was like, I know where this is going. Right. That whole definition of is thing. Let's go.
Just swerving on the road.
Right. Seriously, when that happened, like, I had to break it to him. I had to break it to him, and he was like, what?
Well, it's not just the
No, I understand.
They made it the op thing.
I know.
We have to adjust reality to match what is actually happening now. Our expectations are completely off.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that language
changes.
Language shifts.
Yes.
It modifies. Mm-hmm. I remember people being so disturbed when suddenly bad also meant good. I get it. I get it. It doesn't mean that it's an easy thing.
Right. I know.
Anyway.
We digress.
Our special show today is January 31st.
Yes.
December 31st. Today is December 31st.
Oh, gosh. We missed a month.
Yeah,
crap.
Last day of this year on the Georgian calendar, if you're following the Georgian calendar, which many people are. And that means that tonight is First Night Virginia.
Oh, that's right.
If you don't know, First Night Virginia is... First Night is something that started in Boston. Back in the 80s. And leave it to Boston to come up with something puritanical like this because they wanted some type of celebration for New Year's Eve that did not revolve around alcohol. Yes, Virginia Puritanism still exists in Boston. But anyway...
I'm sorry. What? I have questions.
Yes. Yes, the strong, strident black woman in the back. What was your question?
It doesn't involve alcohol?
Yeah, dig it. That's the whole idea.
And the point would be...
To get total with your tea, I guess, you know?
I think after most of the year that we've had, I think maybe taking a night off alcohol is not a terrible idea.
He tweeted what?
Wait a minute, I can't read that yet. I'm only on my third beer.
Well, North Korea
need something stronger.
Make it a double.
Oh God, he's doing a press conference. Where's the bourbon?
Don't even let it age. Just bring the corn liquor. Open the jars in Grandma's fridge.
Bring the sour mash now.
So this has taken off and it's spread throughout the country and it's come to here. We've had First Night Virginia here in Charlottesville for a while. And so today on our show, we have what First Night Virginia does is it provides a number of artists. It's great because it gives a number of artists the opportunity to perform in front of people to have.
So what you're saying is it's family friendly.
Oh, I hate that.
Me too.
Oh.
You saw the disdain in my face when I said
words.
It.
Oh, those words.
It's family friendly.
Friendly.
What? Friendly.
Sorry.
No, it's friendly to what we feel your family should be like.
Thank you.
Define this.
Take our morals. Take our values. Instill them.
Now!
Yes.
Fit into the box! Well, for damn you!
Well, for some of us, it opens us up to an audience that may not normally come to our shows.
And that takes us beautifully to our first guest. Our man with the plan.
With the segue.
One of our favorite people, extended part of the Homegrown family, Grand Poobah. Of Bent Theater Improv, Comedy Improv, Bent Theater, because Bent Theater Improv Comedy, you've extended the name.
Every year I'm going to add a new word onto it and just see what happens. Like, eventually our website's just going to be unintelligible. You're going to be able to look it up. And then we're going to replace
Theater
it.
Bent Theater Improv Comedy Extravaganza, wonderful. Can you give me a word for something?
And in about 10 years, I'm just going to replace it with a symbol. I'm going to go full prints on it and see what happens. And people are just going to be like, what is going on?
They're just going to click on the website here.
Yes, of course. Clinton and I will look at that and go, oh, Andy.
I walked right into this one. Now, I feel like I'm becoming y'all's dentist. I'm just showing up like once every 6 months. Just kind of just like, what have you done?
You're much more fun than going to the dentist, Andy. Don't talk about yourself that way.
I'll take that as a compliment.
But, right. I must say, your teeth, very, very nice.
Oh, my God. Really?
Really? You haven't noticed? Those are some straight teeth.
You know, I've noticed a lot about Andy. Teeth were never, that was never on the list.
I hide them. I never smile. It's part of being a comic. Yeah. You never want to smile for people. You don't want them to see that you're enjoying what you do. You want to look at them dead faced and just kind of glare. Most cats, you want to approach it like a cat. This is what I'm going to do. And I don't care.
See, you wouldn't make it as FCC chairman and Verizon employee of the year as Jeep Pie.
No, you wouldn't.
Because he's got that smile.
Can I just
It's the
ask,
smile show today.
Have you seen the video on Facebook of the Australian woman wrapping her cat as a Christmas present?
Yes. Yeah.
I love that video for so many reasons. One, the woman is like so excited, right? She's like excited to show this instructional video on how to wrap your cat as a present for Christmas, and insists the entire time that the cat is actually happy about it.
Oh my.
The cat.
Oh my.
Sits on, he's like, she, you know, cuts the paper and sits him on the paper, and he's sitting there. He's like letting her do it. But the look on this cat's face is like, bitch, please. There's so much side eye from this cat.
I wrapped mine in a Snuggie once and lived in fear for.
Yes.
Still.
Yes,
I
right?
still live in fear.
Because they're awake when you're asleep and they have sharp claws and. No, it's hysterical. If you haven't seen it, seriously, look at that show. It's so funny.
I live in fear now without even having seen it. So speaking of living in fear,
what are you doing for first night?
Actually, before getting to that, as an interesting preparation for first night, how was the drunk show?
Well, we figured we'd get the debauchery out of the way early. The drunk show was fun.
And does first night know? So tell our audience what the drunk show was.
And were you actually drunk?
Yes.
Awesome.
What we have done, we've made this a form that we do about every 6 months now. We take our standard improv review and we make our actors and have our audience turn it into a long form drinking game. It's like there are bits. There's you know, every actor on stage has got like a quirk that, you know, we assign them. It's like, hey, you do this a lot as an actor. I think it was for me. It's like anytime Andy dramatically turns away, the soap opera turn away from his fellow actor to look at the audience. Every time Andy does that, he has to take a drink. I was like, ah, and I did. I was about a scene in, and I hit my limit. It was a lot of fun. Great way to kind of end our official like public season finale of our form. So it was nice to get that out of the way, and I think everybody sobered up enough to be able to do the family friendly show. Which I'm not gonna crap on the family friendly show. I do enjoy doing that, and I think it opens us up a little bit more because our standard, like the people who came to the drunk show, were in that standard improv audience age, about 20 to 40. That's it. We don't have there's no younger. There's maybe one or two older, but we don't get the family audience and kids. Any opportunity you have to perform in front of kids, the kids are the only people who always feel comfortable yelling at you.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because I was about to ask that because improv more than I think just about any other type of theater so depends on the audience because it's so interactive. What is it? So what's the light you're saying? So because you've done this before, you've done first nights before.
Yeah.
And so talk about what it's like to be working with kids and with the first night audience.
I mean, you're not going to get and that's a belittle the kids. You're not going to get some more, you know, highbrow kind of like you're not going to get a lot of highbrow, like intelligent references, political references. You're going to get a lot of poop. you're going to get a lot of dinosaur. But it allows us to kind of be for me, I like it because it allows me to be a little bit more physical as an actor. Because you know, a lot of adults, you wanna think and you wanna craft these well thought out story told scenes and do good. You know, puns and stuff like that.
In the heat of the moment.
And for kids, it's just, the kids aren't going to get the pun. A kid doesn't know what a pun is. So I'm going to crab walk around stage kicking another cast member because they're losing their minds. I think that's the funniest thing they've ever seen. So it's a different type of...
Well, you know, I've seen your crab walk, Andy. It actually is very funny.
It's a very good crab walk.
I'm 87% leg, so...
Yes, you are.
6'3" man with
almost no torso.
No torso and a bunch of legs. It's like, that's all it is.
You know what you just said reminds me of? It reminds me of an article that I was reading about how much American cinema, especially big budget Hollywood cinema, how much it has to depend upon money from foreign showings, and how that shifts the content and what you do specifically in things like comedies, because the question becomes,
what's going to be funny to everybody?
Yeah, what's going to be funny in another language, another culture? Suddenly it becomes a very complex thing. And the person who was writing this article was suggesting that the increased promulgation of really base humor is a fallout of that. Because, you know, poop jokes are poop jokes everywhere. Everyone likes a fart joke, right?
Well, you know, it's kind of like Eddie Izzard. He does his shows in three different languages. So he does English, German, and French.
I didn't know he did German. I knew he did it in French.
That's become a recent development.
Yeah, yeah. So and I actually, I can't remember
Frickin'
who
European.
Was.
Frickin' European.
Whatever.
Is there a point on doing a comedy show in German?
But apparently, he's like, the German shows that he does in German are like his best shows.
Minus his bad accents that nobody gets, like, because they're all dubbed.
Right. But he's like, yeah, he's like, yeah, a joke in German. He's like, I tell it the same way I tell it in English, and it's good. I'm like,
that's amazing.
That's cool.
As we've moved into the new millennium and now 2017 going into 2018, let's go ahead and crush that rumor that Germans don't like comedy.
Are you sure? Because there's that famous
joke
that Robin Williams kept saying, that story that he kept saying, that apparently he was, and who knows how true it was, but it's a great bit. Robin Williams kept saying that he was on a German radio show or a German talk show, and someone said, Mr. Williams, so why do you think that there's not such a history of stand-up in Germany? and he said, did it ever occur to you that maybe it's because you killed all your funny people?
Patton Oswalt has a very similar one about, like, Germans making offhanded comments while touring in Germany, and his tour guides would, like, immediately just crush it. It's like, I was like, oh yeah, these are the strudel pipes, and it's like, no, those are hot water pipes. They pump water, you know, out of the they pump water out of the aquifer, and the reason is they just step on jokes all the time because they don't want to be associated with the Holocaust.
Yes, yes. Yes.
I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we should do a drop.
We should do a drop.
Drop it.
Pay half a bill.
Who's dropping today?
Well, we can't afford a whole one.
20 minutes past the hour.
Is it?
It is.
Oh, my God. If you're just tuning in, set an alarm, people.
It's twice it was 10 minutes ago.
It is. But set an alarm, people. I mean, geez. We're here every freaking week. You have missed 20 minutes of the Dern Show. Like,
and a lot of Jeff Sessions talk. A lot of fantasies about Jeff Sessions and Ajit.
They've missed some good stuff, right, Andy?
I didn't even want to jump in on the cold open. I was just like, I got to listen to this. This is the funniest thing I've heard.
See? That's what I'm telling you. Set an alarm, people.
And you're listening, at least you were, before we started berating you. Anyone left?
Nope. Off.
is listening to Homegrown, your show about local art and chastisement. And we're here with the grand poobah of Bent Theater Comedy Improv, Andy Davis, on our special First Night Virginia show.
Mm-hmm.
So, where are you going to be performing and when? Because there are multiple, so way First Night works, multiple acts going on, multiple different places.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
All at different times.
So you gotta kinda,
at the same time.
You got to kind of schedule yourself, pick and choose, especially on a night that's going to be as cold as tonight. You definitely right. want to know where you're going and when to be there.
Get because, there as soon as possible, yeah. and then, you know, see, this is where alcohol would help.
A little bit, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Nope.
It's going to be cold. And
nobody says there won't be any pregaming. Actually, I'm saying like, that there won't be any pregaming.
No.
Not for you.
Not for my cast.
Not for you.
Now,
it's like the champagne room. There's no alcohol in First Night. No alcohol First Night.
Okay.
So we're performing at The Haven on Market Street.
Great space.
Big open space. It's the biggest room in Charlottesville that we've gotten an opportunity to play and we've been fortunate enough to have really good houses every time we've done it. We will be performing at 9, 10, 15, and 11:30, 45 minutes each set, and then we'll take a little break. So we're one of your crews that's ringing in the new year.
Right.
Yeah, I was reading that on the website. They were saying that this is that your final show is a countdown show, right?
Yep. So we have to time that out pretty well.
You just need to get one of those big clocks like Flavor Flav, so you don't miss it.
I'm just gonna have somebody in the back just holding up fingers.
You're holding up
every single
fingers. That's a big room, Annie. How about cards? Can they write?
Maybe I don't know. We're gonna have a dry erase board, and they're gonna be doing the seconds the whole time. 8, 7, 6.
Yes.
And that cast member will quit the group the next day.
Yes. Not doing this crap again.
It's better than having Jack curl himself up to a little ball and have him slowly drop down. I think that's patented. I don't think you can do that.
You can?
No. I don't know.
I think Miley owns that. So. I don't know. Is that reference dated now? It felt like 2017 has been such a long year that feels like a dated reference.
I was just drinking coffee and I didn't want to like die.
I was going for the spit take, but I didn't get it.
So improv is so interactive and in that way intimate. I'm wondering if a large room is a benefit to that, or is it a detriment?
It can be this is one of those venues where we got to be bigger than ourselves. You mm-hmm. have to be, you have, you know, big characters, big movements, a lot of like audience interaction, a lot of audience on stage. Like the smarter, there were a couple of bits that we've done regularly this year that are just too intimate that you can't play in venues like this. We debuted a long form bit called Man versus Cat, of all things, myself and Jack Rakes do, and it's a very funny bit. It's a very clever bit where he is just an antagonistic feline and I'm his owner, and we deal with whatever's going on in the apartment that day, and it's very funny, and I think people will laugh at Jack, who's, you know, a big guy, it just, you know, rolling around on stage in cat ears, but the subtle humor is just not gonna play. So instead we'll get audience members up on stage and we'll make them carry us around, like literally throughout scenes.
Well, the audience member who gets you isn't going to have to work very hard. I mean, geez.
That's part of it. Again, this is, I suffer for my craft. I want that second helping. I do.
Andy, dear, there's more turkey. No, I'm going to be carried.
No.
A 10-year-old kid has to carry me around on stage. Trust me, it's very funny.
What? Anyway. Okay, so you're doing, so it's three shows mm-hmm. in one night. Mm-hmm. You guys are ringing in the new year mm-hmm. at The Haven. That's been really cool, man.
It's going to be fun. It always is. We've been fortunate enough to be part of this this event a lot over the past decade, and it's always an honor to get the invite, and it's always fun because it does open us up to a different crowd, and you know, we'll have those people who will, you know, see this and oh, that was fun, and then they'll come and see our first official show of the next year and be like, whoa, what happened?
Wait, I mean, there wasn't any cursing last time I saw these guys.
Do you ever consider, because I know that you do different types of shows, throughout the year. Like you do the drunk show. Mm-hmm. Do you ever consider doing the socially repressed show? I'm sorry, the family-friendly show?
Oh, wait, no, there you go. We try our best. It's one of those things where we always tell ourselves, like, you know, go out there and be whatever we get, be a step cleaner than the audience. If there's a bunch of kids out there and somebody, you know, somebody says, necrophilia, you have to kind of be like, stop, what's wrong with you? look,
really?
There are children here.
What have your parents been teaching you, young man?
Well, often it is the younger people who are saying that. Oh, like, you get a bunch of 16-year-old kids just saying, I can say awful things.
Yeah,
like, there are 5-year-olds here. Like, cool. But no, we try. It's like, we try to advertise our shows being for everybody, but at the end of the day, it's like when we show up there and it's a bunch of, you know, college age and older people, you know, they're going to tend to skew the content towards things that they find humorous and things that are on their minds. And we want to work with what we're being given. We don't want to restrict or repress our audience, you know, too much. We want to be able to shut down things that are just outwardly, you know, sexist or racist or offensive to the LGBTQ community. But, you know, we want to be able to play with them without shaming them. That being said, we do call them and say, there are kids right here. What is wrong with you? We would love to do that scene.
But there's like a 7-year-old. Could you not?
We don't want to have to explain to him or her or their parents what went wrong.
Right. You should build a plexiglass cage that you call the cone of kiddiness. So, okay, to do that, we'll have to lower the cone of kiddiness.
Comedy Sports in Richmond, all over the country, does this great thing where if somebody says something, this is actor or audience member, if they say something terrible, they put a brown paper, they bring them up on stage and put a brown paper bag on their head.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I kind of love it at the same time. It's like, that little...
No, that'd be awesome. It would have to be decorated, though.
Yes.
You'd have to put, you know, like, make a pretty face like, draw, you know, and you'd have to have a male and a female one, you know, one guy with the curly, you know, mustache.
Say, oh, this is the evil person.
Yes, with the evil mustache that they can twirl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should do it.
Or like, the sack... The sack head, like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Yes.
You know, they give it with the sack head cloth where they can't really see, but the eye patches are sewed over.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, that was so, that detail, that was creepy.
I know.
The eye patch is sewed over.
Yep.
See, now I want to rewatch the first Mission Impossible.
I just marathoned them.
This is
Did
what
you?
Happens.
All of them?
All of them.
This Love is what happens when the franchise. Three of us get together. Like, we never end up talking about what we're supposed to be talking about. There are 10 billion tangents.
We tried.
We covered it. Bent Theater. 3 shows starting at 9 at the Haven. It is first night Virginia, so you do have to get your wristband and come and see us that way, but which is fine. You should support this organization because they support the arts community. That's like a bunch of us wouldn't be able to do what we do if they didn't kind of help promote us. Like, they do a lot of our work for us. At the end of the day, you know, this we'll ride this audience for the next 3 or 4 months.
Yeah,
which is amazing, and because it makes my job so much easier.
Well, thank you so much, Annie, for coming and talking to us. This was awesome. Always a pleasure to see you.
Always a joy to be on with you guys.
Thank you so much, Bent Theater tonight. Woo! First night, Virginia. At the Haven Sanctuary, 9 p.m., 10:15, 11:30. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
So we need to do a list of what's coming up.
Yes, we do.
There's a lot of stuff. There's always so much stuff.
It's because we are a wonderfully artistic town.
We are. We are.
Hit us.
All right. Oh, I'm doing the first part? Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. I can do it. And here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently, January 19th, Drawn to Charlottesville, a group of 12 local artists being shown at Second Street Gallery. Currently running January 16th, the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Collection presents an off-site exhibition defending the ocean. 21 works by contemporary indigenous artists celebrating the central importance of the ocean to human life at the Charles L. Brown Science and Engineering Library in UVA's Clark Hall. Also currently running through January 6th, Sweet Charity at Live Arts.
tonight, as you just heard, First Night Virginia. Go to www.firstnightva.org for a list of acts, venues, and times. January 4th, Annie Up Comedy, host Battle Edition with Winston Hodges and Chris Allen at the Ante Room. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Hello, Chris.
January 13th, Our Streets, a documentary about August 12th at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. Two showings, one at 5 and one at 8. If you didn't see it, you need to see it. It's really awesome. And for your musical options this week.
This afternoon, the Jason Burke Quartet at the Glasshouse Winery at 2 p.m. Tonight, the Porch Dogs playing pop rock and anything else but disco at Wild Wolf Brewing Company. Tonight, also, Beatles tribute band Das Homage plays the Tin Whistle Irish Pub and the Robert Jospe Express at Fellini's. And also tonight, Jim Wave and the Young Divorcees.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yes. He's got the full band with him playing with David Wax Museum and the Steel Wheels at the Jefferson Theater. If you just want to take a step out.
Yeah,
if you want to take a step out. If you want to take a step down, DJ Groovematic spins the New Year's Eve at Rapture and DJ SoFly and surprise guests hold it down at the Anteroom. January 2nd, Travis Elliott at Fellini's. January 3rd, LG and Friends at the Whiskey Jar and the Blenders at Rapture. Bluegrass and Folk Trio Face Made for Radio is at the Whiskey Jar on January 4th, along with the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's on January 5th. It's the Michael Clem Trio.
Woo! Hey,
what up, Michael? At the Batesville Market. Also, local Rolling Stones cover band Cherry Red plays Dirty Nellies on January 6th and January 7th. Three Notched Road, the Charlottesville Baroque Ensemble. Did you know that Charlottesville had a Baroque Ensemble?
I think so.
It's Baroque, but they ain't gonna fix it. It's the Charlottesville Baroque Ensemble.
You can't do anything but sit there and wait for that one. Like
it had to. They're going to play a concert called Bach, Biber, and Pachelbel, Instrumental Sonatas of Germany at the First Presbyterian Church.
Wow.
That's January 6th and January 7th. Okay. January 6th, again, Jim Wave, Marl Sider Works. Johnny B and the Goods at the Batesville Market. The Irish Bluegrass Three-Part Harmony Laden Trio, Sweet Afton, plays Dirty Nellies, and Luca Dora plays the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Friday morning, it's the West African Drum Circle at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, it's the Bluegrass Jam at the French Porch Music School. Also, Seafoot, the Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, the weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Where else?
Right.
Every Tuesday, it's the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Tuesday, also, it's Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero. Every Wednesday... run out of background music every Wednesday. Here we go. The open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Bam! The open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo. Bam! Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9. Bam! Bachata Fusion at the Anteroom presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club. Bam! DJ and Friends at the Bebedero. Bam! And the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Ooh. Every Thursday, it's our friends Lua at the Bebedero, and every Thursday,
John Durst
at Miller's, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Durst.
Yeah, if he would only come on the show. Just saying.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Chris Allen. You're listening to Homegrown. This is 94.7.
It is 35 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art.
What's coming up next, Clinton?
We've lost our Facebook feed. What's coming up next? What's coming next? Stay tuned afterwards for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, where your host, Rick Moore, talks to a little-known local politician.
Really?
Named, what is this? David Toscano.
Scano.
Toscano.
Yeah.
Is he new? Do we know?
No, he's not. He's not new.
He's not new.
He's not new.
He didn't just get.
No.
Okay.
No. Been here quite a while.
Really?
Oh yes.
Oh my gosh. Gracious me.
Stop that! You are so wrong.
They're going to be talking about Virginia's recent Democratic victories and the bills that Toscano plans to introduce in 2018. But before that. The art continues with our next guest. Welcome to Homegrown for the first time, Chloe Esther. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming here. Our second First Night Virginia guest.
Yes.
Have you played First Time Virginia before?
I have not. I'm pretty excited. First time.
So here's my question. How did you hook up with them? Did they contact you? Did you contact them? How did that go down?
Yeah, so I've been going to this open mic in Belmont at the local restaurant every Monday night. Michael Clem actually runs it.
Oh, dig it.
Yeah, and I've been going there.
Love to get that on our list.
Yeah, you should. It's amazing. I've been going there for about a year now, and I met this woman, Susan Munson, there.
Susan, yeah, Susan. Yeah, we
she's
love
amazing.
Susan.
Yeah, she's super great, and she reached out to me and a friend of mine, Grace Dawson, and asked us if we would be able to play. They're doing like, they're featuring some local singer-songwriters at City Space. So she just asked a bunch of people from the local and a bunch of her other singer-songwriter friends if they would be able to play. So I'll be at City Space tonight from 7:30 to 8.
Cool, cool, yeah. Cool, cool. 7:30 to 8.
I believe so.
So, how carefully have you crafted that half hour?
Oh, I haven't rehearsed yet, but I will eventually.
Look at her. Hasn't rehearsed yet.
I got plenty of time. It's not even 11.
There you go.
She's got enough time to preload, sober up, and then do.
Exactly. She's good.
I have just like a little, you know, I have a bunch of songs that I've written that I just like choose from. I like to kind of wing it when I do live performances, unless it's with someone else. And then I think it's probably better to plan. But when I'm alone, I just like to sort of like read the crowd and pick whether I want to play like a loud song or a quiet song, stuff like that. So I'll just, you know, wing it.
She's going to wing it.
I'm going to use my wings. I'm going to fly.
Well, I believe you can fly.
Thank you.
Oh,
I believe I can touch the sky as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're doing that, aren't we? can we not with the R. Kelly references?
Have you seen the... Saying. Oh, God, that's right. That was R. Kelly.
Yeah, can we not with the R. Kelly references? Let's not go there.
The R. Creepy references?
Right, exactly.
So it's a new age. It's just a new age. Have you seen the space at City Space? Have you checked it out yet?
I have not, actually. I'm pretty excited. I've never been there before. So it should be fun. Lots of winging happening. New space. I don't have a guitar with a pickup, so I'm just going to borrow someone's guitar. Everything's fine. It's all going to work out.
You're really blasé about how loose this all is.
And she's so calm. Like, she's not shaking or anything. Like, she's just like, yeah, whatever.
My best friend is going on right before me, and she also doesn't have, like, a nice guitar that she can play, so I figure I'll just have her go through all the trouble of finding a guitar, and then I'll just borrow it, because it's perfect.
Share the love.
Yeah, exactly.
What else are friends for?
Honestly, really? That's what we usually do, so it works.
So where have you been performing? Where have you been performing around town? Where have you been performing other than at the local?
Well, my first gig actually was about a year ago. I opened up for Adar. Just like,
yes,
I
yes,
love
yes.
Adar so much. I opened up for them at the Anteroom last year, and then after that, I've mainly been playing at the Tin Whistle. I've played there like 4 or 5 times now with my friend Caleb Einvector. And our next gig is on January 18th from 8 to 11. So that should be pretty fun. But I've been playing there a few times. I've played at Miller a few times with my friend Patrick Keys. And I feel like those are my main gigs. Yeah. A lot at the Tin Whistle.
Now, I read somewhere in a bio that I found, or at least I don't know if it was long enough to be called a bio. At least there was some bio information.
A buy.
Mm-hmm. That those buys. Oh, those buys.
Yes.
That you taught yourself guitar.
Yes, I did.
What?
Well, I grew up. My father played guitar, and I guess I just sort of watched him a little bit, and then, I don't know, my sister taught herself how to play piano, and I taught myself. She bought a guitar, actually, and I repurposed it for myself. I stole it, basically. And I started playing it. I don't know, I just sort of, like, figured stuff out and, like, worked out what sounded good, and now I have terrible form, which is great.
See, I was wondering...
yeah.
I was awesome. Wondering how that contributed to the way you construct songs and the way you play the guitar. Cause I was taught guitar, and not that I learned, I was taught well, but not that I learned well. So don't think that I can play.
Oh, whatever. You play guitar beautifully. Shut up.
But you know, whenever I approach anything like songwriting, it's always from
the viewpoint of, oh, I know these chords and I know that these fit together. I imagine it's going to be something different for you, right?
Yeah, I don't know anything about music, so
interesting.
I mean, I know what sounds good and like what. A lot of times it's really frustrating, actually, because I'll know the chord that I want, but I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. So I have to just sort of figure it out. But yeah, I don't really know keys or like anything at all about music. I just sort of figure it out. And I recently started finger picking, mm-hmm. which is interesting. That's been a fun journey. But that especially, like, I know that I'm playing actual notes and I'm not just like strumming. And yet I still have no idea what I'm doing. So I don't know. I guess I just do it by ear. It doesn't always work very well, but yeah.
I was wondering, are most of your works, like all of your written songs, or do you find yourself doing covers or?
When I play by myself, I typically mainly do songs that I've written. But when I play with like in a duo or mainly duos, we do like a mixture of covers and our own original songs with harmonies and stuff. Obsessed with harmony. I think like songs with a ton of harmony sound amazing.
That's the word right there.
So good.
Harmony, that's the word. By the way, that was the voice of our little guest host here, Brandon Lee.
Hello.
What's up, Brandon?
First night show. First day show.
The first day, first night show, anyway.
So if someone had to put your music into a genre, what genre would they put it into? Like, is it folk? Is it bluegrass? Is it like what can they expect to hear tonight from
Here's
you?
A thought. Why don't we
ask her to play?
Why don't we run the drop just a little early and come back and get the song?
Yes.
Would you do the song?
I would do a song.
Yeah.
Yes!
Liz can sing harmony.
All right.
No, I can't.
43.
Not this morning.
Minutes past the hour. And this is Homegrown. We're gonna do this drop. 44 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. We are here with Chloe Esther. Take it away, Chloe.
All right, this is a song I wrote called "Giving Up," and I hope you like it.
Swore I'd never fall in love again. I'm wish I hadn't stayed the night. 'Cause I'll be tangled in your arms and it'll feel so right. But rewind a few hours and you were crying on my shoulder. 'Cause you're not over her.
Woo! Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
All right. Chloe Esther, was the Give It Up?
Yeah. Or Giving Up.
Giving
yeah.
Up. Giving Chloe up. Esther, Giving Up here on 94.7.
Wow.
WPBC.
That song took a turn I was not prepared for.
Surprise. I'm depressed.
I mean, I was there, like, right the whole time. I was following her. Then I was thinking to myself, like, wrong name. Oh, side person name came up. Oops.
Yeah, that awkward moment when.
Oh, man. Oh.
So, on one of these buys that I was reading, talked about.
For people who just tuned in, they're like, what? what is she talking about?
One of these buys talked about you playing sad songs.
Yeah. I've earned the moniker Melon Chloe.
Melon Chloe.
Yeah, because
wow.
I write sad songs. You're asking about my genre, and it can pretty much be summed up by the fact that I write very depressing songs all the time. And I guess sort of like indie is what I would call myself. They're also often the depressed crowd. So and my people.
And yet you seem so pleasant. You seem so cheery.
Thanks.
Where does that
It's get? All a facade. I'm really broken.
She mentioned peeling back.
Thanks, yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. That's great, Clinton. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
We're here to peel back the onion.
This is Shrek. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I try to be happy and kind and all that stiff in real life, but I think I have a hard time like expressing my emotions and talking about my emotions in real life, which I think a lot of people have that trouble. So I find it a lot easier to do it through music. I also write poetry, so... I'm just a soft, sad soul beneath a bubbly exterior.
That leads me to something that I was wondering, which was, I mean, you, when I hear things like you teaching yourself to play guitar, and hear that you've just started, you've been writing songs and you're playing out. I was wondering about what was it that drove you to do that? What was the impulse that said, hey, let me take this and try to play with it, and then after that, say, hey, let me start to write songs, because it's not an easy or obvious thing to do. And I think that there are many people who like, I mean, like Brandon was saying, there are many people like, well, let me go do other people's songs. But whatever barrier that is that's there for some people, apparently you didn't have or overcame. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. I definitely think it does go back to being able to express myself in like an authentic, raw way that I don't often feel as if I can do that in real life sometimes. Mm-hmm. Being like a college student and working, I'm just like always stressed and always sort of putting up a front of like being okay. And it's really great to be able to peel that back and like express how I'm actually feeling. And also it's just, you know, music is beautiful and it's really enjoyable to create it. And it's also just a great like social networking. Like I've made so many friends through music, and I just really, really love the music scene and music in general. So yeah, that's sort of my inspiration, is making friends and being happy.
That's
the,
awesome.
The constant goal.
And real quick, what would you give to a student who is, or a child, actually anybody for that matter, who is trying to get over that hump and learn, yeah, to perform on their own? Because I know I've walked out of music classes very frustrated, and I can relate to the wanting to improv a situation. So, you know, what would you give a student?
Honestly, you just have to do it. You just have to, do things that you're scared of. Go to, an open mic as a first step, because there will be a lot of newcomers. Just find a microphone and find an audience and play in front of them, and you can start small and let it grow, and it just sort of snowballs into eventually not having stage fright and sort of being okay playing in front of people, or at least for me it did. So just sort of be cheesy and face your fears, I guess, and try to play as much as you can. And write all the time, even if it's terrible, just keep writing.
Well, Chloe, we certainly want to thank you for coming on the show. First Night Virginia. If you want to hear a half an hour
of Chloe.
Of that type of stuff, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Tonight, 7:30, 8 o'clock, that's your slot at the City Space, right?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, me too.
And thank you to your coworker who took your shift so that you could actually
be here. Yes, shout out to Molly for taking my shift.
Shout out to coworkers who take artists' shifts.
So that they
use
their art.
Yes.
You are the heroes of 2017. All right, thank you, Chloe.
Thank you.
Bye, Chloe.
All right. 54 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. And it's time for Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Oh, why thank you, Clinton. So, because it's the holidays, and you can, I binge-watched a few things. There's only one, though, that I want to talk about. She's got to have it. Caution, spoiler alert. To be fair, I have always loved a Spike Lee joint, and I loved the movie when it came out. So I was hoping that I would love this Netflix series just as much. And I was right. I absolutely loved it. I spent most of the first season standing spontaneously with my fist up when Nola Darling, a great name by the way, said anything and all the things I approved of. And let's face it, Nola said a lot I agreed with. When she said that line right into the camera about no one ever owning her, I stood up with my fist up like I was on a podium at the Olympic Games. Okay. From her unapologetically sexual chocolate soul, Nola Darling and Spike were speaking to me and about me. Can I also say how I loved the representation of the rainbow of skin tones and backgrounds? Okay, like I absolutely love the fact that it showed the intricacy and the width and breadth of black love. Like, how amazing was it to see black people loving each other for a change? The men she chose were all so different. And in her shoes, I don't know if I could pick one either. Like, really? I mean, the unabashed depiction of black love in all forms and complications. Seeing multiple black couples share intimacy with each other on a level like this has got to be a big first step to loving ourselves and our brothers and sisters on a deeper and more constant level. Finally, I loved how the only way for Nola to be truly free was to give these men the one thing they were asking for. Knowledge of the other men, whether they could handle it or not. And I don't even have time to go into how much I absolutely loved seeing a black lesbian relationship on screen. Like, I could go like 2 hours on that, because I mean, that woman was fine, like, as my nana would say, fine as frogs have. You know, one of them people that you see them and they make you ugly. Oh my god. There's so much to love about this show. So if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. And please see season 2. Like, and we're hoping that in season 2, it will not go the regular, you know, patriarchal, heterosexual way that other shows go. We're hoping that, you know, Spike will keep it slightly to the left of center and give us something really amazing to watch, because Nola's amazing to watch. All right, y'all have a happy new year and an awesome 2018, and we will see y'all next week. That's my weekly rant. What you got?
All right, I've got 15 minutes past the hour. And that is Homegrown, your show about local art. Leslie, thank you for coming in.
Of course.
Brandon Lee.
Hey, it's been great. Y'all enjoy your night. Be safe.
Our guest host here. Stay tuned. Coming up next. Actually, before we do that, we'd like to thank our guests, Andy Davis from Bent Improv. and Chloe Esther. Check them both out at First Night Virginia. And when you go out, be careful with your non-drinking tonight. You don't want to go overboard with the non-drinking. Somebody is going to not offer you a drink, and you want to pace yourself. It can be fun and exciting to not have a drink, but you don't want to let it get too much because, you know, there are going to be kids present. That's what I'm saying. Coming up next is Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. Their guest today is David Toscano, talking about Virginia's recent Democratic victories and the bills he plans to introduce in 2018. I hope one of those bills is an ejection seat. But in the state legislature, or maybe in legislatures higher than that. Who knows? If we get it, you heard it here first. It's mine. All right. See you guys in the next Georgian calendar year. Peace.
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.